hearing it right there. The mood in Baghdad. Iraqi forces have assumed formal control of security in that city and other cities in Iraq after U.S. combat troops withdrew from urban areas. 6 years after the invasion, a countdown clock broadcast on Iraqi TV ticked to zero as the midnight deadline passed for combat troops to pull back. In Iraq, they're actually celebrating this day as National Sovereignty Day. On a more somber note, four U.S. soldiers died last night in Baghdad following a series of bombings last week that killed nearly 160 people combined. So joining us now to get some insight into how Iraqis feel about the U.S. troop departure is Nazar Janabi, former Director General for Defense Policy in the Iraqi Ministry of Defense. He joins us from Foxborough, Massachusetts. Nazar Janabi, thanks for being with us.
Thank you, John.
All right, continuing with us is Professor Gary Solis, who's a retired U.S. Marine with the 26 years experience, who teaches military law at Georgetown University. Nazar, let me begin with you, though. How do you explain this sense of real celebration? I mean, there was violence leading up to this deadline, and we've gotten used to a sense of tense, incremental progress in Iraq, but not a lot of joy.
Well, it's very understandable that Iraqis feel very jubilant today because they have regained, or it's a certain deadline that gave Iraqis back their destiny, their control over their country. It has been several years now since the beginning of the invasion in 2003, and Iraqis had felt that they did not have any control over their fate. And incrementally, they had increased their control over their destiny. And since Maliki's government took over, we have noticed that trend of experience saying how Iraqis are independent, how the Iraqi decision is for Iraqis only, negotiating the SOFA agreement and taking some tough stance in the negotiation process and setting deadlines for the American troops to be out of Iraq. This was something that could not even be discussed 2 years ago. Iraqis did not have the power or the confidence in their capabilities to discuss this with the Americans, and now it's a day that the Iraqis feel that they have taken control over the fate of their country.
Well, let's talk about moving forward then. If there's confidence to celebrate today, what is the mission for Iraqi security forces? Is it to hold the line, or is the mission more to make political gains, to reach some sort of agreement with the Kurds, to actually implement an oil law? What are the things that Iraqis are actually waiting for?
Well, for the Iraqi security forces, their job is to take over from Americans and keep the country secure, keep the levels of violence at minimum. And this is something to be seen. Although everyone is celebrating, but everyone also is anticipating or being extremely careful of what is going to happen next. How are the terrorists? How are the extremist group are going to react to the withdrawal of the American forces?
Well, that's certainly the big question. Professor Gary Solis in Washington, D.C., that raises immediately the question of what is the U.S. mission right now? Is it to stay out of sight and to quietly pull back, or is it to conduct air support missions for the Iraqis? I mean, how would you describe the mission at this point?
Well, I think it's a unique mission. Anytime you have a counterinsurgency, the population is the prize, the objective. And so, as Mr. Janabi indicated, security is the primary mission. So American forces are, in effect, I believe, going to prove to be the 911 force for Iraqi security forces. If they get into a firefight or a situation in which they can't control the outcome, they're going to call for American reinforcements and air support. So our mission is to provide backup, to provide additional firepower to the Iraqi forces, whose mission is to provide security for the population.
General, do you, this is Todd Zwillich, do you have a sense that violence is almost destined to flare up in the short term in Iraq. And I'll ask the same question to Mr. Janabi afterward. But, you know, a lot of the good reporting from the street, from people in Baghdad and other cities, says, well, there are still organized militias who are just waiting for this moment, and there will be a flare-up. Are we prepared for that?
Absolutely, and we're already seeing it, of course, a spike in the bombings, a spike in the deaths for U.S. KIAs last night. So I think it's inevitable that we're going to see an increase in violence. But much of it is not effective. It's for the press primarily. The question is, will we approach some tipping point in which violence flares, in which the Iraqi populace looks to sectarian units, sectarian forces to provide security? And if that happens, we could be in very serious trouble. Both sides have such a grave stake in the success of the Iraqi forces in providing security that we're going to do everything we can to help the Iraqis. And I think we will find that U.S. forces aren't entirely out of the picture as much as the newspapers may be indicating right now.
Right. Well, sorry, Professor. I may have promoted you there to general. Probably wasn't so bad for
you.
I'll take it. Mr. Janabi, what about you? From your knowledge of Iraq, do you think that a large flare-up in violence in what might be a vacuum is inevitable over the next couple of weeks and months?
Well, there will definitely be attempts from extremist group to flare up the violence. The question is, how would the Iraqi forces, or how capable the Iraqi forces is to respond to these, to follow up? The Iraqi forces lack some of the fight enablers, the logistical support, the air power, the intelligence. Although the intelligence, the United States and the troops had built up a certain network of local intelligence, and I'm hopeful that after the Americans had moved out of the cities, they had passed on this information to the Iraqis so they could follow up on the intelligence in neighborhoods that was occupied by the Americans. With that intelligence, it would be very helpful for the Iraqi forces to counteract whatever these extremist groups are planning to do.
Well, certainly the extension of the counterinsurgency effectiveness of General Petraeus by the security forces in Iraq is going to be the main, I guess, goal and mission at this point. Let me go back, Gary Solis, to this idea of a 911 force, okay? I mean, which sounds very simple and straightforward, but I'm wondering if there are rules of engagement in there. I mean, is there a sense, don't call us about this, but call us about this? We don't want to be running around all the time, air support only, troops only in this situation. Can you speculate maybe a little bit about what the rules of engagement are here? Because it's politically sensitive.
Oh, absolutely, and it's the political sensitivity that makes all the difference. In other words, you can't just simply call for an airstrike, an American airstrike, because you're having problem in a certain firefight. There has to be a level of conflict which is not unique, but which is very high before Americans can get involved. Because, as you say, the political imperative is now playing as much a role as the combat imperative. And so there has to be a delicate balance between the two. And I think we're going to have to see that worked out on the ground. I don't think that you can, in the abstract, before the event arises, lay out a bright line test. And so this is something I think that over the coming weeks and probably even the coming months, we're going to see mistakes made. We're going to see a few successes, a few failures.
Well, let's talk about that for a second. Ray Odierno, the general who's the top U.S. commander in Iraq, was speaking all weekend long, and I don't have time to play the actual sound for you, but he sounded very confident, but it also seemed like between the lines he was lowering expectations a little bit here. Is that your impression?
Yes, it is, and I think that's a wise step to take, a wise tack to take, that is, lower expectations, because inevitably there are going to be some sad, you know, you don't want to use the term failures, but there are going to be some incidents where it doesn't work out well, where the insurgent forces are going to prevail in a given firefight. We have to keep our eye, however, on the long
right.
on the long goal, not the individual firefight. So it's not a day-by-day thing. It's going to be a month-by-month thing.
Takeaway is maybe mission not yet accomplished. Professor Gary Solis, a retired U.S. Marine, teaches military law at Georgetown University. Thanks so much. And Nizar Janabi, former Director General for Defense Policy and Requirements in the Iraqi Ministry of Defense. Thanks to both of you.
Thank
you. My pleasure.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at the New Yorker. So join us every week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.